Father in heaven, again I'm astounded at how you bless our church. For Sabbath school and the service to this point, your presence has been noted and obvious, even though we don't deserve it. And now, Father, I pray it continue, that your thoughts will come clearly to our hearts and our minds present today, and we will become more like you and less like us. So use me, Lord, in spite of me, and let us hear and see Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. Well, last week we started a series entitled, Are You Building Your Ark? And for those of you who are here or those of you who weren't, this was motivated by the fact that I had never thought of this before. When Noah built the ark at God's direction, it was the only way of salvation. There was no other. In other words, if there was no ark, there would have been no salvation. And so the thought came to me, are you building your ark? If you are, there are four areas you need to consider. We need to consider. I'm building an ark. The first is the spiritual foundation of your ark. The second one is the physical body of your ark, and it includes presence as well as practice. That's a hint, by the way, that part two is going to have two parts. Number three, the mental state of your ark, and also the social practice of your ark. And last week we looked at the spiritual foundation of your ark. And just as the ark was first built by sturdy beams, making a structure that had a foundation that was firm to build on, so we discovered that we need in our ark to have a spiritual foundation. And of course, the spiritual foundation we must have, we must know personally and intimately Jesus, that He died and that He... Or let me say that again. The spiritual foundation of your ark is to have a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only know that He died, but that He died for you. Our ark is no good unless the foundation is strong, and the foundation, of course, is Jesus Christ. And now we're going to look at the second phase, the physical body of your ark, and I call it presence, which will be very clear in a moment. There has to be a distinction in the physical. You know, it was built of gopher wood. I was going to launch out in this great understanding of botany about gopher wood and discovered that none of the experts know what gopher wood is. They have no clue. All they know is it was tough stuff. And the outside of the ark had to withstand. And by the way, I went on the internet. This is the most violent picture I could find, and that even doesn't tell the story for those of you who read your Bible about the ark and also the spirit of prophecy, patriarchs and prophets. It was horrific. And the body of the ark had to be sound, or the only ones who were in and all the animals would be at the bottom right now. And I wonder where we would be. And so, number two, the physical body of your ark, a presence. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Genesis 13. And we're going to read a story here that will give us a clue to the presence of our physical body. And children, I want you to take your Bibles now. Come on. Turn to Genesis 13, and then we're going to go to Genesis 19, but first 13. I want the young people to really listen, because it's crucial. when you're young, that you make wise decisions, and you'll soon see why. Okay, everybody got Genesis 13? Okay, we're going to read all the way to verse number 12. Here we go. Then Abram went from Egypt, he and his wife, and all he had, and Lot with him to the south. And Abraham was very rich in livestock, and in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tents had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Lot also went with Abram, had flocks and herds in tents. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelled in the land. By the way, if you ever wondered why that sentence is in there, it sure seems out of place. It's telling us that they're watching. How are you going to handle this stressful situation? The Canaanites are watching. So Abraham said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. And if you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right, I will go to the left." And Lot lift up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. And then Lot chose for himself all the plains of the Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Now, I want you to stop just for a moment and visualize this with me, if you would, because this is how it all started. As we look at, are you building your ark? If you are, you've got to have a strong body. And I want you to know that Abram was a very generous man, for he took his sons, his brother's son, into his home as if he was his own. And he looked at him one day in this light and he said, "Son, we've got a part." And notice he graciously said, "If you will go to the left." Do you realize Abram could have easily said, "This is where you're going. You know, I want the left, so you go to the right." But that's not Abram. "If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left." And he's sitting there, and suddenly his countenance changed entirely. His heart started to palpitate, and he began to visually sweat as he looked at his son Lot going like this. And in Abram's mind, he said, no, you don't understand. I said this way or this way, and he's going that way. For Sodom and Gomorrah really looked hot. And like a dagger in his heart, and Lot in his youngness decided that in spite of all the warnings he had received, he headed right for Sodom and Gomorrah. And now we will see what the physical presence of your ark could result in if you make a decision against the counsel of Scripture, the spirit of prophecy, and those that love you. In fact, I want to show the young people this little couple sentence quote here that says, every act of life, however what? Small, has its bearing for good or for evil. Faithfulness or neglect in what are apparently the what? Smallest duties may open the door for life's richest blessings or its greatest calamities. It is little things that test the character. And in spite of all that Lot knew and learned, and how graciously God had blessed him, he decided to go in the direction that his father Abram did not offer as an option. And so what happened? Let's go to chapter 19 and read verses 12 through 18. Genesis 19. Boys and girls, don't forget to turn. Genesis 19. And notice the picture here. And here's what it said. And I'm skipping all that you know, all right? Because, you know, I just know that you already know this story. Clearly, we're looking at, are you building your ark? We're looking at the spiritual body of your ark. Listen to this as we start at verse 12 of chapter 19. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-laws or your sons, your daughters, whoever you may have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the cry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy this place. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws who had married his daughters, and he said, get up, get out of this place. The Lord will destroy this city. But his sons-in-laws, to them, he seemed to be joking. And next we're going to look at verse 15. And then the morning dawned, and the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here with you, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of the two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside the city, he said, quote, escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed. And then let's go to verse 14. To verse 24. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the city, and whatever grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And then let's go to verse 35 of the same chapter. And here's what it says. Then they, the two daughters, made their father, Noah, drink wine that night also, and the younger arose. I guess the older did it too first. Anyway, 36. Thus both daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn, a son, called his name Moab, and the second one, Ammon. a lot of water over the dam since the decision that Lot made. And I hear him clearly saying, Father Abram, don't worry. I won't go into Sodom. I just want to be by it. And by the way, if you read your Bible carefully, it says they lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. Did you hear me? They lived in Sodom. He promised his dad he wouldn't go there. He'd go by it. Physical presence. It won't affect me. It's the place. It's such a beautiful place. And so now what are we facing, folks? Let's get real here. Number one, he was stripped of all his possessions. Number two, he was bereaved of his wife and his children. And here's a little quote for the men in the congregation. If Lot himself had manifested no hesitancy to obey the angel's warning, but had earnestly fled towards the mountain without one word of pleading or remonstrate, his wife, also would have made her escape. Did you know that? That's why I read the spirit of prophecy and love the spirit of prophecy. Men, we've got to stand up for what's right. And now Lot, as a young kid, made that decision to go where the glit and glitter was, promising not to go in there, but just nearby. And Father saying, don't do that. He's now stripped of all his possession, bereaved of his wife and his children. He's dwelling in caves. And by the way, all he has left to show for his decision is he raised two sons that became two idolatrous nations that harassed Israel all their existence. The people of God were harassed by Moab and Ammon constantly. All because of one decision he made to physically put himself in a position where, you know, I'm not going to be part of it, but I'm just going to go close, until finally there was a housing project in Sodom that had some really nice houses. Remember, Lot was very wealthy and he purchased it. And this is reality of a little decision made when a young. An old man like me, if Lot had not hesitated, his wife would have made her escape. But because he decided he could be in proximity and it wouldn't affect him, he lost it all. Is it worth it? You know, it's really neat in Patriarchs and Prophets. It clearly says that Lot was a brand plucked from the fire. That means he's going to be in heaven. But when he gets there, where's his family? Where's his possessions? And he has the memory until God wipes that memory clean so he can be free to be happy and peaceful in heaven, that he raised two nations that harassed God's people from day one. And so if you're building an ark, you have to consider what you are seeing, what you are hearing, what you are touching. What are you playing with that could take your mind away from the spiritual and put it on the earthly? If you're building your ark, you need to consider your presence where it is. You know, I find it very interesting as we talk about this. By the way, I'm almost done. Because, you know, if any place is like Sodom and Gomorrah, it's Las Vegas. In fact, I'll go so far as to bet we have more marble in Las Vegas than they did in Sodom. And look at the evil and wickedness that those marble pillars and marble floors and waterfalls and beautiful foliage cover up. And in God's eyes, it's all dirty and black and ugly. In our eyes, it's attractive. And the proximity in which we put ourselves very well could affect us to this very level that Lot found himself. And so, the Bible says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. By the way, that wording isn't supposed to be there in black. It's a glitch between my computer and Lenny's computer. But that's a picture of Satan showing Jesus the world and saying, if you just bow down, simple, I'll give you the world and you don't have to go to Calvary. Come on, Jesus, I'll do that for you. Why go through all that humiliation, pain, torture, agony? And the world that he showed looked good, like Las Vegas. But of course, you know Jesus said no, didn't he? And it could have all been him. There was a coming out, folks. There was a coming out, a decided separation from the wicked and escape for life. So it was in the days of Noah. So with Lot. So with the disciples prior to the destruction of Jerusalem. Read Matthew 24. And so it will be in the last days. Again, the voice of God is heard in a message of warning, bidding His people separate themselves from the prevailing iniquity. If you are building your ark, you must be very careful of where you present yourself. In closing, there's something wrong with this picture. I didn't know this till I got ready for this sermon. Do you know what's wrong with this picture? Do you see Lot's wife, by the way? She's way down there. Check this out. About this picture and Lot's wife turning to salt. Did you know? When we read the Bible more closely, we discover that this is not the way it happened. So from the safety of this place, the Bible says Lot's wife looked back. All right. You see, Genesis 19:23 says that she reached Zoar, where the angel said, you must go to Zoar and don't stop because I can't do anything till you get there. You got that? Verse 19:22 and 23. Clear as crystal. That means that Lot's wife obeyed the angel. Did Lot's wife obey the angel in leaving Sodom? Did she obey by arriving at Zoar? It's a lesson here that is very important for all of us. You see, Lot's wife, she obeyed on the outside. She did what God said and left the city. But it was just a matter of time before the inside of her heart was revealed, because although she left Sodom, where was her heart? It was in Sodom. It was still there. Which is why she longed, she longed for the stuff and the things she had left behind. The things she was not happy without. And in Zoar, she turned back. And my friends, if Lot had never brought his family eastward, and even though he did, had he not hesitated, his wife would have made her escape. And don't forget, the children refused to leave. They laughed their father to scorn. Oh, you're too religious. This is the 21st century. Come on, that's not really that bad. And so, if you're building your ark, I want you to consider the body of your ark and the present location where it's found. That it's where it will make it impregnable to anything the world has to offer.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.